Hey, yo, yo, yo. You listen to the Half Right Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Half Right Podcast. You are tuned into another episode of the Weekly Recap with one third of our broadcasting team here. I am Lakia. Max and Fonz are off watching football. You know how that goes. We're going to be getting into Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Halloween Havoc, talking about the match card that is rounding up for Crown Jewel, which is happening in November. And we're going to talk a little bit about CM Punk and the whole AEW drama over there. Let's get right into it. So over on Raw, here's the highlights. We know that Bobby and Brock are going to be going against each other at Crown Jewel. Brock came back on the season premiere episode. Max and I were actually there, went there for my birthday. It was at Barclays Center. Amazing show. Great DX reunion. Seth finally gets a title back after not having one since 2020 when he was a tag team champ with Murphy. So we have a new United States champion in Seth Rollins. We're going to see Brock versus Bobby. And this is interesting because we saw a little bit of this earlier when Bobby ended up injuring his shoulder. Brock ends up getting the WWE title, that same title that he ended up going up against Roman with at WrestleMania. You know, the whole winner take all type of spiel. Was that WrestleMania or SummerSlam? Either or, Roman has both of the titles. So Bobby and Brock. Brock got Bobby week one on a season premiere. Then it looked like Brock was getting Bobby this time around, but Bobby was like, you're not going to send me again. I already told you what I thought about you. So I'm really hoping at Crown Jewel that we are going to get more of a fight between the two of them and not a wash match for Brock Lesnar. And I mentioned in our previous recap that Brock is now that nostalgia that Saudi liked in both the likes of Goldberg and Undertaker. We don't have them anymore. I know Goldberg is still signed to a contract, but we don't need him in a match right now. So Brock is that nostalgia. Oh my gosh, aging myself here. He's the new nostalgia. As if John Cena were to go over there, he's that nostalgia as well. So they like to have that element in these Saudi shows. So the Brock and Lashley match is going to be that. Now, also in the season premiere episode, the OC, Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson also came back. They were in a tag team match versus Alpha Academy. Then the Judgment Day came out and like challenged them to a match. So Judgment Day versus the OC. We'll see how that pans out. Styles did end up going against Dominic Mysterio, and Mysterio ends up, you know, Dom beat AJ. So it'll be interesting, this little feud that they go have going on here. Nice to see AJ Styles back on our screens. Dakota Kai and Io Sky beat Bianca Belair and Candice LeRae. Candice LeRae, Johnny Gargano's wife. We know that she's back. I don't know how she's going to be in this women's division. I don't know where they're putting her. We know that there's no mid-card women's title. You either have the Raw women's title or the SmackDown women's title. We'll get to Ronda Rousey's thoughts on the SmackDown women's title in a second. Bianca is going to be going against Bayley. So, I don't really know. Bianca having the title, and Fonz mentioned this before, and it's like Bianca having the title, I'm kind of over it now. And this happens, this is my personal opinion, this happens after a while. It's kind of like Roman having the title. It's like Roman does not need to be the tribal chief to have both of the titles, because it's like you're not even showing up. You are what you didn't want to be when you were coming up in the game, how you were like, well, Brock Lesnar's a part-timer, John's a part-timer, Rock was a part-timer. It's like you have these part-time champions and you don't want to be that, and now you are one. So it's like Bianca's not a part-time champion. Shout out to Bianca. Bianca Belair is the EST for a reason, but I don't even know who should take the belt off of her. And also, she didn't really have, I'm not going to say she didn't really have a reign last year. She did have a reign when she finished up winning at WrestleMania against Sasha Banks, but we saw how abruptly it ended and the way that it ended. So I'm hoping that when the title is taken off of her, that we don't have that same type of thing happen, which is why if the title would have been taken off of her at Extreme Rules, it's like she's still that strong wrestler, that's still strong superstar storyline wise, of where you didn't pin me. And we know that it took three people for Bayley to beat her when having Dakota Kai and Io Sky on her side, and Bianca's just a one woman show. So it'll be interesting to see how they take the belt off of her. Baron Corbin has teamed up with JBL. Like, bitch, what? Any. We saw a hint of it before, but it's official. JBL has teamed up with Baron Corbin. And Baron Corbin ended up defeating Dolph Ziggler. So I don't know if we're getting like happy Corbin. Baron Corbin seems to have his name back. You know, he's been going through a midlife crisis lately in WWE. So that'll be interesting. And then The Miz was supposed to fight Dexter Lumis. That didn't happen. That didn't happen at all. He ended up attacking him. So I don't know if Lumis is going to get that contract that he is waiting for. Then the finale, we had Elias come out. Ezekiel, Elias, Kevin Owens was not there. Man, it would have been gold if he was. But Elias is back. Riddle came out to sing with him. And Elias was like, nah, man, like I'm a one man show. I don't need nobody to sing with me. But as usual, Elias is always getting interrupted. It'll be interesting to see how they segue him back into competing and not just as a commercial break or a bathroom break for those that are in attendance. And then Seth Rollins beat Riddle. And then after the match, Mustafa Ali came out and wanted all the smoke. He was looking real cute with his braids and everything. I was like, okay, Mustafa. All right, let me stop fangirling because I fangirl enough over Roman. But it's great to see Mustafa Ali, after all the things that he's been going through, back in the main picture. Well, I wouldn't say main picture, but back on TV. How about that? Then over on SmackDown, you know, Solo Sikoa, who I like to call Baby Umaga. Solo Sikoa ends up defeating Sheamus, but he was out. Listen, the Bloodline was out here breaking people's arms, putting it in chairs, smacking the shit out of people. So that's what happened there. Bray Wyatt had another spiel saying that he's going to do horrible, horrible things on his new journey here in WWE. Liv Morgan beat Sonya Deville. Well, it ended in a double countout, but Liv beat Sonya Deville with Liv, this whole new Liv Morgan that we've gotten since this Extreme Rules match, even though she dropped the title and I tweeted this, I really think that this is a great evolution for her character, just to show a little different depth and, you know, diversity, a little edge to it, because we know Liv is being, you know, the blue tongue punk rocker girl, and now we're seeing more of an edge. I call her Baby Hardy with the way that she's jumping off of things. So that's that. We saw a little bit more of LA Knight. Omos and Braun Strowman. Omos is big as hell. Like, Braun Strowman is big, but Omos is like, he's even bigger than Braun. So that's going to be interesting seeing those two fight each other. And I've seen tweets about it. They're like, this match could go really, really well, or this match could be really, really bad. I'm hoping that it's going to be a good match because they're both super big guys. And I just think it needs to be like just a powerhouse type of thing. Because we know when Bobby fought Omos, Bobby is even smaller than Braun, but Bobby has a lot of strength and, you know, that weight behind him. We don't have that same thing. Well, we have the same thing with Braun, but Omos is not like him as a wrestler because he's so big. We're not getting the same thing that we would expect from other guys. So we've seen Braun wrestle in the ring, but Omos, it's more of like, you know, a push and shove type of thing. Like, I'm so big. So this is just like a battle of the giants at this point. Like, I'm the better giant. Like, I'm the giant. I'm the new giant. We all really know that the OG is Big Show. But anyway, I digress. Then we have Drew McIntyre, who announced that he's going to face Karrion Kross in a steel cage match. I'll be honest, I'm not too interested. I'm not too interested in Drew McIntyre in this whole Karrion Kross beef. Like, when Karrion Kross came back, cool, but it's like, after watching that strap match and how uninterested I was in that one, I'm not interested in the steel cage match. It's going to be a crown jewel, but shout out to them. The Women's Tag Team Championship match, Damage Control versus Raquel and Shotzi. I'm so glad that Shotzi Blackheart is back to being Shotzi Blackheart. Like, I'm so happy that these people have gotten their names back. You know, Tommaso Ciampa, Matt Riddle, Austin Theory. Like, I'm here for the full names. It's just something about it. Now, if only we can get Pete Dunne back to being Pete Dunne and not Butch. Then Ronda Rousey comes out and she keeps calling it the SmackDown Championship. Like, I don't know. Like, and Ronda Rousey, here's the thing. Like, I know that a lot of this is, we know that WWE is kayfabe, but the thing with Ronda Rousey is that I feel like she talks too much. Like, she gives too much into what is happening in real time. And it's just like, can you leave the mystery and the mystique about it? You could just leave it. We don't need you just running your mouth all the time about like what you feel about it. And then we have Rey, who fought one of the dudes from Imperium, and then we're gonna get the SmackDown championship match in 2 weeks. So timing wise, Roman's gonna be on the next SmackDown, and then the one after that is going to be pre-recorded because the Saudi show was on a Saturday. So that's gonna be the one where Gunther's gonna be fighting Rey, and I'm pretty sure that'll be the main event. And they said that due to the attack earlier on SmackDown by the Bloodline, Sheamus has a non-displaced fracture near his elbow and is still under observation. So we'll see what happens with that. And then Hit Row could possibly be bringing in a fourth member. I don't know if it's going to be like one of the people from, because you know they cool with the Street Profits. I don't know if they're going to ask one of them for help and then go up against, you know, Escobar, Zelina, Legado del Fantasma. I'm over here thinking of, like, what are these people's names? Legado del Fantasma that returned 2 weeks ago? Possibly the week before. Man, oh man, it's just so much going on. And for things to be repetitive, I should be more on the ball with it. Anyway, and then Logan Paul comes out talking about all it takes is one shot. And Roman was like, by any means, don't be touching Logan. Like, leave it alone. But Jay being Jay, Jey Uso being Jey Uso and always trying to prove something, he's like, nah, I'm gonna go out there. And he was doing good. He was kicking his ass. But instead of walking away, he had to go and get knocked out. And it's like, I really don't know where they're going with this. I don't know what they're doing with the Bloodline. I have no idea what the heck is going on. And it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how this pans out, because it's either they could jump Jay out and then have it all be like a decoy type of thing. You know, when Paul Heyman apparently went to the Brock Lesnar side, but he was really in Roman's pocket still, and just have Sammy get super comfortable and then take him out. So it could be that kind of situation as well, but I'm really at a loss with where they're going with this whole Judgment Day type of situation. So that was Raw and SmackDown. So again, the matches we have confirmed: Roman going up against Logan for the WWE Universal Heavyweight Championship. I don't know what to call it. The name is so long. Brock versus Bobby, the OC versus Judgment Day, and then the steel cage match, Drew versus Karrion Kross. I can see them adding a women's match in here because they usually do that. But it looks like we've been rounding out about six matches for these pay-per-views. So I think that'll be a solid number, especially with, we don't want to oversaturate and overcrowded, especially with Survivor War Games coming at the end of November. You know, the Survivor Series Classic, the Big Four, the fourth big pay-per-view of the year. Now moving on to Halloween Havoc. Apollo Crews beat Grayson Waller. Roxanne Perez beat Cora Jade. That was a good match. I enjoyed that one. I really liked that one. Julius Creed beat Damon Kemp in the ambulance match. Mandy Rose beat Alba Fire. They started off in like a graveyard, but then they ended up in the ring, and then Toxic Attraction got involved. I don't know how they're gonna segue Mandy back to the main roster, because it's like, yeah, you're the champ, but we've seen people come up from NXT and then they don't end up getting a title at all. Like, Rhea's doing pretty well coming up from NXT. She did become a champ in her call up. Raquel just got there. She's not a champ yet. We saw Asuka. Asuka, of course, has done very well for herself. And then Bianca never won the championship at NXT, but she's killing it over there. Bayley, we saw Bayley. It took a while for Bayley to get the title when she came up. So Mandy, having been on the main roster and then went back down to NXT to now come back, it'll be interesting how they put her back in. If she's still going to be a part of Toxic Attraction, if they're going to just let this continue on to the main roster, this domination in a sense, possibly have a Toxic Attraction damage control type of situation. That could be cool to get her feet wet back on the main roster, because we know that's developmental, as they call NXT, versus the main roster, two different things. So that'll be interesting to see what they do with that. And then Bron Breakker beat the other two guys from NXT UK. Bron Breakker is still the NXT champ. Overall, I would say that Halloween Havoc, it was at the Performance Center. You could see that it was, you know, very, was all right. It wasn't horrible. There were some matches that were more interesting than the others. But to go from that ladder match where, oh, shout out to, I completely forgot. Wesley is the new NXT North American champion, which makes me think that Carmelo Hayes, he's been in a dark match here and there. So makes me think that he's going up to the main roster. Not sure if he's taking his guy along with him. But shout out to Wesley because he's had a rough year losing his tag team titles because his partner got fired. And now he's a singles champ. So shout out to him. It was the Stairway to Hell match. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. So to go from that match to the graveyard match, all over the place. It kind of killed the energy there. So overall, I would give the show a good 3 out of 5. A good 3 out of 5. For the matches that I did watch, I really enjoyed the ladder match as well as the Cora Jade versus Roxanne Perez match. Those were my two favorites. The ambulance match wasn't too bad, as was the triple threat match for the NXT title wasn't too bad, but those were my top two. The ladder match and Cora Jade versus Roxanne Perez. Then we have the CM Punk drama, right? So we know that CM Punk, being CM Punk, he can't go nowhere and be friendly, it seems like, right? Can't go nowhere and be friendly. But the story is that CM Punk is going to be leaving AEW. And the rumor is, could he possibly be coming to WWE? Do we really need CM Punk to come to WWE? Triple H apparently does not hold grudges, according to Fonz, who is, again, another part of this broadcasting team here at the Half Right Podcast. Fonz thinks that Triple H not holding grudges, he's going to bring CM Punk to WWE. But we also know that Tony Khan can be a little bit spiteful when Triple H started bringing back all these people. And it was like some people are sitting on the shelf that we were going to have all these. It was going to be everybody come back to WWE, which reminds me, if you guys have not watched Monday Night Raw or not the Monday Night Raw, Monday Night Wars with WCW versus WWE, this is pretty much just like it. It's like you have this guy who has the money and the resources in Tony Khan to create this brand of AEW. And instead of cultivating the homegrown talent, you're going and taking people from WWE, which the people from WWE, the ones that are staying, Chris Jericho signed a 3-year extension deal. Chris Jericho is not loyal to any brand. Chris Jericho is going where the bag is at. John Moxley, when he left WWE, his first interview was with Chris Jericho, and he just talked about how much he didn't like being there. Renee Paquette, John's wife, formerly known as Renee Young in WWE, just signed with AEW, and it's like, it's more of a convenience and familial type of thing. Like, I'm not going to go back to WWE where I know the strenuous schedule and my husband is over here. So there's a loyalty thing there with the two of them, because it was rumored that Triple H did want to try and get Renee back on the broadcasting team. He did get Kelly Kelly, but not Kelly Kelly. Kathy Kelly. My bad. Wrong Kelly. He did get Kathy Kelly, but he was trying to get Renee as well. And I just didn't see that happening with John being on a completely different brand. I didn't see Renee crossing lines with that, even though Fonz also mentioned that she could have went back to Fox. But why am I going to go to Fox when I can just do everything that I'm doing? Go on AEW once or twice a week, do my job, get my check, go home to my kids and chill with my husband. Like, why am I going to put more work on myself when I have a comfortable little system going on here with all the podcasting and whatnot that I'm doing solo dolo? So CM Punk not wrestling in AEW, I feel like the pop, number one, would have been bigger if he came back to WWE. But the fact that he hadn't been seen in so long and going to AEW, I really feel like Tony Khan felt like he had the hook, line, and sinker. But then when you have that hook, line, and sinker, and then Cody leaves and he goes over to WWE, taking Brandy with him. Again, the loyalty lies there of the couples. Taking Brandy with him, it's like, why? Why am I don't see him coming back to WWE. Never say never, of course, but I don't see CM Punk coming back to WWE. And this is not to say that Triple H is holding grudges. It's just in the guys that he wrestled with then aren't even there anymore. So I just don't. It would be a pop, a hell of a pop if he did, but I just don't see it happening. But time will tell. We have more coming up. And I hope that you guys stay tuned for the next episode. But that is this week's weekly recap from Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and of course, a little bit of AEW rumor, Windmill. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Of course, the broadcasting team will be back for the prediction shows. You're listening to one third of the broadcasting team here at the Half Right Podcast, Lakia, and I appreciate you guys for tuning in, and I'll see you in the next one.
Stay tuned to the Half Right Podcast.